Yeah, g'day everyone, and welcome back to the Gold Coast Titans Frontline Podcast. It's a super tough week for the club, but if you are listening to this podcast right now, if you've chosen to click this on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, you, sir or ma'am, are an absolute legend because we know you're here with us, we know you're hurting with us, and it means a lot to have our community still interested in anything to do with the Titans after what has been a really tough period for the club yet again. Blaze, welcome back, my friend. Not the best week in our club's history, not the best period. How are you holding up, man?
Gee whiz. I think that's all I can really say right now. Oh, yeah, gee whiz. Also, I do have to mention that apparently last week, the podcast, well, it definitely went up on YouTube, but apparently Spotify and Apple, I was told that unfortunately it didn't actually arrive there. So that probably should have told us everything right there, because we definitely didn't arrive at Leichhardt Oval on well, we arrived early. Oh, yeah, we arrived early. But then, gee whiz, I don't know what we did, mate. I don't know what we did. But apologies to everyone on Spotify and Apple. It's every week. So unfortunately, I don't know what happened, but something didn't happen and it'll be fixed for this week. So welcome back. But hey, listen, at least you didn't have to see a video where we're hyping up the Tigers game where it was not great. But obviously, look, it was good to be amongst people like yourself, Blake and Danny, the rest of the Titans family and friends that got out to Leichhardt Oval. And, that's the main thing that we've got to kind of focus on, the fact that obviously we're all doing it together. And this way, I sent a Facebook post in one of the groups the other day, is that, like, you know, people are so aggressive with their opinion right now and they're having a go at everyone. And I think people aren't really recognizing that we're all in this shit together, right? We're all in this shit together. That goes for the fans, that goes for the players, that goes for the club. And yeah, it's a really, really difficult time overall for the club. But at the end of the day, we had a function. We had a bit of a couple of laughs. We got to support the Roosters to try and beat the Eels by 22, which obviously did not happen. But yeah, it's still good to be around your friends and family who are going through it all together.
Yeah, man. Well, actually, I don't want to apologize to people who missed Spotify and Apple last week. I want them to say thank you to us because we actually saved them from a recap of the Rabbitohs game and a preview of the Tigers game, which was a disaster as well. So I know people were asking, where was it? We're not going to apologize. Well, he might, but
it
I'm
was
not
on YouTube though. It definitely was on YouTube, but so you guys should be subscribed there because you get to see our beautiful faces, obviously. But yeah, just that one week there was a mistake.
You can call it a mistake, but I'm standing by my word. We absolutely saved them. It was a disastrous episode from start to finish. Quick housekeeping, guys. If you could follow the Frontline on Instagram, it's Titans Frontline, and join our Facebook group. You'll get ticket giveaways to home games there. We can discuss Titans and all things beyond the podcast there with you as well. And let's get into the show, my friend. Straight into our first segment, Titans news segment. Some good news for the club. Moeki Fotuaika selected again in the Maroons game 2. So big congratulations to Mo. My prediction here, mate, I actually think he's going to have a better game than what he had in game 1. Because I feel like in game 1, he was kind of introduced in the period where the Maroons were just defending and the Blues were really coming hard at them. Whereas I think this time it'll be a bit more of an arm wrestle, a bit more of a battle in the middle in the wet, dewy conditions of Melbourne. So I reckon Mo will have a bigger game in game 2. What are your thoughts on his selection and what are you expecting from the big fella?
Yeah, look, obviously Moe being selected is amazing. We love to see that, especially right now where, it is a very, very difficult time for the club. It's still good to see that we're getting some representation at the big level. Obviously Dave is still with us, which we are really, really thankful for, actually, because it means that we do have him against the Warriors this weekend. But obviously, we've still lost guys like Tino and whatnot and AJ who have been at Origin level before. Tino definitely been selected this year. So, yeah, look, I'm looking for a big game there from Moeki Fotuaika next week. And, I'm expecting, to be completely honest with you guys, Queensland usually struggles in Victoria. I can't remember a game that Queensland have won in Victoria. Everywhere else, they're pretty good at. Obviously, we just won in New South Wales. Obviously, there was Adelaide the other year. I think Perth, New South Wales are very good at, and Queensland is just a death ground for New South Wales. So, looking forward to seeing kind of what these forwards can do, especially Moeki Fotuaika against the New South Wales team that have chopped and changed yet again.
Yep, if you're a Maroons fan, get behind our boy Mo, and if you're a Blues fan, well, just pray he doesn't get injured, I suppose. A real interesting one here, actually, Carter Gordon. Now, we know he's a half in rugby union, and we all kind of naturally assumed he'd play most likely 5'8 for us alongside Kieran Foran. But Des Hasler said there's no positional guarantees yet. He's actually not sure how he wants to use him. So that's got me thinking, do you reckon we could use him as a center? Because I know Matt Rogers, when he came back from rugby union was predominantly a 5'8", but he did play a bit of centre as well, I believe. Do you reckon Carter Gordon could fit into that mould for us as well?
Look, I think that we have a little bit more priority in regards to sorting out our halves right now, especially with Kieran Foran, you know, being on his last legs in regards to his playing duties with the club, not in regards to his actual club duties, because we definitely want him to stick around. You know, obviously there's a little bit of hesitancy around Tanner Boyd, hesitancy around Tommy Weaver, and, you know, the depth option isn't really there unless Carter is playing the halves, which it's what you would expect him to be doing. I think that obviously Desi's just coming out just to kind of, you know, throw it into murky waters. That's a Desi kind of thing to do. You know, he knows what he's thinking. And that's why you always see the team list change on game day pretty much every single time that we do play, because he wants to kind of create a little bit of confusion there. And I do think the Carter Gordon will come into the halves. There has been word of potentially even 13. I do think that we're kind of sorted there with guys like Khalees Haas. And also, even Chrissy Randall can play there, obviously. Isaac Liu obviously will be probably going towards the... I don't think will be re-signed by the end of this year. So that will open up a potential position there depth-wise. And there's guys like Jacob Arlick as well. So Jacob Arlick-Winkie, sorry. But yeah, look, I think that ultimately he will go into the halves, especially with the fact that realistically, unless he's thinking, and this is Desi, unless he's saying that Tanner / Tommy will be in the halfback position and then AJ Brimson is in the 5'8", because that means that obviously he's bringing Keanu Kinney or Jaden Campbell into that fullback spot, and Keanu's been absolutely killing it, which is making that even harder right now. So it comes down to, does Dez see AJ as the future 5'8", or does Dez see AJ as the fullback? And if so, that will obviously impact the potential of Carter Gordon there. Or if Dez doesn't believe in Tommy and Tanner, then Carter would go into that 7 role. But that would be very, very interesting. Obviously, we trust in Dez. We do like what he has hopefully got planned. And it's a very tough time to see the future right now. But yeah, look, I think that Carter Gordon will come in and do a job.
I think it really comes down to what we really don't want to happen is play Carter Gordon at center to get his bearings in rugby league. And then Foran retires the next year and he's not experienced in the halves at all. Now, that can occur if Desi thinks AJ or Jaden Campbell are the out and out 5'8" moving forward. And that means, of course, Tanner Boyd comes back in at halfback. So I think it really depends on how Desi wants to run this team. There's options. We've got depth. It's always a good thing. We spoke about our depth coming into this year in the forwards around spine positions. Hasn't panned out that way due to form and injuries. I'd honestly say injuries have been a big factor as well. But we do have some depth again next year, which is awesome. Quick one for anyone that is getting down to Seabus or thinking about getting down this weekend for our home game against the Warriors.
Please do. No. I'll stop you right there. Before you even get on with the next part, please, guys, please turn up this weekend, because if you know anything about the Gold Coast, you know it's a heavily Kiwi-populated area. And also, every time we play the Warriors, oh, my goodness, man. I made a joke, actually, on Instagram saying time to beat New Zealand for the second time in New Zealand this week. So playing the Warriors twice away from home. And unfortunately, it's a sad fact. And especially with what we're going through right now with the club, I'm honestly scared for the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if this was pre-planned by the club. I assume it is. It's a superhero Saturday in theme event. So there'll be Warner Brother heroes and villains around if you have smaller children. And they're also going to give out some masks and capes. It's going to be a bit of a superhero theme in the crowd if you want to get involved on game day and feel the energy, as the club likes to say. Unfortunate news here, mate. And this news actually gutted me. Ankle injury has ruled out Riley Jorgensen out of Origin under 19s as of about an hour ago that actually came out. Set to miss 4 to 6 weeks. So she will be pushing to return in the NRLW opener. Just bummed for Riley, man. Like, she has the future. She has the potential to be, in my mind, one of the best back rowers in the NRLW. And I just really want to see her back ripping and tearing. To pick up this injury, now she'll miss preseason with us. It's a little bit unfortunate because, in my opinion, our forward depth is already a little bit thin in the NRLW. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, look, this is obviously really frustrating to see for Riley. Riley had obviously, for people who don't really know the NRLW game, if you watch it, the pink headgear, that's Riley Jorgensen. Fantastic player, tough player. She's always good for a massive hit throughout the game. Massive, massive hit. And yeah, she is really turning into a real beauty when it comes to this sport. And that's a big part about why we got to the NRLW Grand Final last year against the Knights. Now, yeah, this is really frustrating to see that she's going to be out of this game and she's going to be pushing to get back into the NRLW when she does come back. but she's going to be a talent for a very, very long time. So again, it's unfortunate that she's not going to be playing this week, but she's going to be an absolutely massive talent the more she progresses.
Completely agree, mate. Cleese Hearts, a lot of people thought he was dropped, myself included. He has a bruised heel that he's continued to play through. At the moment, it's being listed as a week-to-week injury, but from what I understand, he is looking to return in the Sharks game as we have the bye next round. We'll have to wait and see how that injury heals. NRL physio says that it's not too much of like a long-term injury where it's can affect anything. It's more so just trying to get through that pain barrier and actually perform.
Oh, just before you move on in regards to Cleese. So I was speaking to Cleese, and yeah, no, he was actually quite even lucky to play in the last game. You know, he's been carrying this. I think he's had his leg brace on for a while, like a couple of weeks now. And every time I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know what's happening here? Because we're on a pretty good relationship, good friendship kind of deal. And yeah, I got a few messages actually from people saying, oh, why do you insult Cleese in your story? He's a Detroit Pistons fan. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. That's all we're just... He literally laugh-reacted that too, just to kind of take the piss out of it all. So don't stress in regards to that. But no, yeah, he should be fine for the Sharkies game, but he was lucky to even play the last game and lucky to play the game before that.
Yeah, and of course, too, Cleese, if you are listening right now, thank you so much for continuing to soldier on and play for us in a week where we didn't
and
get
the Detroit
result.
Pistons suck. The Detroit Pistons suck, Cleese.
And that. No, but we do appreciate you putting your body on the line there and playing through what the NRL physio says is a painful injury. Final bit of news here. Now, this isn't officially on our injury list, but I know you've been speaking to Tommy Weaver about his injury, and he did give you permission to talk about it on the podcast. So what can you tell us about, Tommy?
Yeah, so this is something that people should kind of already know about. So before he came back in that Knights game where he's forced into Magic Round, and then also played the Broncos game, he actually had his fractured hand or wrist. It was fractured hand, he said. But he only took his wrist brace off that Monday, as in the Monday before that game. And because we were lacking so heavily in the depth department in the halves, because we were going to play Chrissy Randall and Sam Verrills in the halves, right? So Tommy Weaver was forced back in for that one and then played the next one. And then, yeah, he hasn't been playing for Tweed and obviously hasn't been amongst the Titans. I've been seeing people asking questions like, why is Tommy Weaver not getting a crack, all this? And I decided to message him and say, hey, bro, like, what's going on? There's not really been any update. And then, yeah, he was basically just saying that he's just getting his arrest in right now. He might be playing this week for Tweed. He said he might be playing for Tweed this week. But, yes, he has been out due to his hand injury.
Fingers crossed that recovers quick because we do need Tommy firing for not only the Seagulls potentially, but maybe even our NRL side. Hey guys, we're going to skip the blast from the past and the Titans trivia segment again this week. It's just, we just feel it's not the right time with everything that's going on around the club.
I think we should actually shout out to Zane Harrison playing in the under-19s New South Wales tomorrow as well, tonight for you guys. Yep. The under-19s New South Wales, we were talking about Zane Harrison a couple of weeks ago and how he's going to be a big dog in the game, and this is your opportunity. I think he's playing number 14, if I'm not mistaken. 14.
Yeah, 14, and we've also had Tommy Weaver come through the under-19s in the past. Brian Kelly, when it was under-20, scored 4 tries, I remember that. So there has been some good Titans come through those grades, and it is definitely worth keeping a look on Zane. Because his name rhymes with mine, and that makes him a legend, and he's also a great young player. See, think of something like 11 premierships him and his brother have won throughout the junior grades.
Premiership so, muscle, mate. There we go. Premiership that muscle is, all day.
That is genuine premiership muscle. Genuine. And if anyone knows about premiership muscle, it's me. And if anyone knows how to see thousands of comments about the Tigers having premiership muscle and the Rabbitohs last week, unfortunately, it is also me. But my joke has come back to bite me on the bass. But oh well, it is what it is. I'm going to keep saying every time we win, you can expect to see Titans flex their premiership muscle. Mm. Let's review last round, mate. I know, like the energy just zapped out of the room. I feel it. You feel it. We lose to the Tigers 8-10. And personally, for me, mate, 18-10, rather, sorry. And for me, mate, I was looking at last week against the Rabbitohs as like a blip on the radar. Just something that it wasn't our day and we're going to bounce back. And we even pointed out that like even the Panthers, a blip on their radar, losing to the Warriors, the Sharks losing 42-0 to the Panthers, even the number one and two sides in this competition this year had blips on their radar. And we were saying it's just a chance for us to bounce back. And I'm always looking for silver linings at the end of a game. And there's only one I can find, and it's an individual performance. That is Keanu Kinney. breaking the individual record for most run meters in a single game for us. He had three line breaks as well, three line breakers. He was awesome. So Keanu Kenny, great game there. You know, did miss the pass back to Jacob on the inside, which potentially cost us a try. But I'm not going to sit here and nitpick the one of the very few that gave it everything on the field there. Outside of that, genuinely disastrous. We had no right to lose that game, Blaze. You simply do not make 9 line breaks to 2 and lose a game of football. You just don't. And if I had a dollar for every time we shot ourselves in the foot with a stupid error, I think we completed something like 6 sets in the whole second half, I wouldn't be here right now, mate. You know how sometimes we set the Gold Coast as the background? It'd be a tropical island, and I'd have a cocktail in my hand, and it wouldn't be a virtual background. It'd be a real one. I'm serious. That's how many times we shot ourselves in the foot. But at the end of the day, like, what do I say? What can I say to break down this from a football perspective? There's no stats I can give. There's no opinions I can give other than I believe we simply handed them the game on a silver platter. We didn't want to play. I will stand by this, guys. I said this on another show that I'm a part of, which is betting focused. I said I would bet and feel comfortable with it that every single other team in the NRL beats the Tigers with how they played. They did not play good. They did not play good. They gave up 9 line breaks. We shot ourselves in the foot. We lost that. The Tigers barely won it. And I don't want to discredit them. Like, I'm not here to, you know, sound salty or put crap on the Tigers. It's just the reality of how bad we played, mate. And I can't think of any constructive criticism I can give to the players. I don't think they need me to tell them they played horrible. Certainly, Dez would have done a fine job of that post-game. But I just don't think any fan of any team deserves to watch their team lose to the then 17th ranked team back-to-back to then take last place. And this sucks. And people are going to agree with it as much as it sucks. Only the Titans can do that. Genuinely. Not even the Tigers at their lowest were losing to the 17th side back-to-back.
No, because they were 7-8th.
Yeah, well, there you go. But absolutely. So my example's correct, but not in the right way. I'm hurting, mate. The dust has settled, and I still can't break this down with sane clarity. I take over, man, because I'm lost. I don't know
what. Okay, I take over. Yes, it was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster, and you could kind of, like, the craziest thing was, and guys, I will tell you, it was impressive to see how many people for the Tigers, myself and Dane and a couple others, we were all in the bay there at Leichhardt. And it was impressive to see how many Tigers fans did get out there for a last place team and to get on the hill and in those rainy conditions. It wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be, but it was still quite wet, obviously. So it was really impressive to see that. I really wish that our fans would have that same kind of mentality that regardless, you turn up and you get loud and you make that home ground atmosphere. I can only do as much as I possibly can in the front line. And, you know, the ones who do turn up, they can only do as much as they can. But I really wish that we had that same kind of ability to have a fan base that really just turns up regardless. And I understand the complaints surrounding why people don't feel the need or value to go to a game. Don't worry, I understand that. Now, in regards to the game, we had 2 line breaks on, like, the first 2 sets down the right-hand side with Jojo Fifita, I think it was. We didn't really get to see much of Lofty in this game, but Jojo was absolutely crushing it. That was really impressive. And then there was a moment that I pointed out to Danny, to left of me and Blake. I said, when we went for the 3rd line break, I think on our 3rd set or whatnot back there. By the way, we didn't score off those 2 sets there. But the 3rd line back, we passed it out trying to do the exact same thing and we dropped the ball, but it went backwards and we lost like 10 meters. And I feel like that put them into a little bit of a tentativeness and they got worried from that and it kind of skilled them a little bit. And then from there, it just never really seems like we were able to go away with that game. Like I genuinely will say in that first 5, 10 minutes, I thought we were going to win this game by 50 plus. I dead set to you. Like the way we were piecing them apart, it was outrageous, you know. And honestly, we should have. And I can tell you, and I'll actually agree with you 100% that I think majority of teams would have put 40 on that team that day. And honestly, probably would have put 50 because the Tigers were not good. They simply weren't. We had 9 line breaks to 2. And, you know, the first half we did dominate, just couldn't really score because of our own errors. You know, every single, like we had 67% completion. The first part of this year, we had like the best completion rate in the entire game. And the last like four games or three games or whatever, we've really kind of gone away from that. We had 67% of the completions. You go into, you know, we made more run meters than them, despite having less ball than them, less possession than them. But then again, that possession all kind of went their favor to only, so they had 51% possession throughout the game. But I'm pretty certain they would have had less than like 40% in that first half because we were just completely all over the top of them. So that's all come and just flown back in that second half where we just looked like it just wasn't there. We had the same amount of offloads. You know, we, oh man, you look through these stats, it's ridiculous. Ugly. Yeah, effective tackle percentage is 89.4% for us, 82.98% for them. So their effective tackle percentage is awful. 82.98% is not good. Missed
they
tackles.
Missed one every five 30. Tackles, essentially.
We had 30 missed tackles. They had 47 missed tackles. 47 yep. missed tackles. You know, 14 errors to us, 7 errors to them. We lost this game. You know, and Tigers fans, I know you're going to be passionate about your team. I know you're going to be like, oh, they're just ragging on our team. You're used to it because you do it yourselves and valid enough. And the thing is, we're not actually ragging on you here because you won the game. You got the 2 points. We are actually ragging on our team. We're actually saying to the Titans, what the hell are you doing to lose that game? It makes no sense on any planet. When they scored their try in the 60th minute to take the lead was one of the most embarrassing experiences that I've ever had, is that whole hill at Leichhardt went up. I can see it in my mind. You know, the Tigers fans will be really, really intolerable when they start winning, but also fair play to them. But that is one of the most embarrassing experiences. And I hate to go so harsh here, but in the same sense, I think we have the right to go as harsh as we are right now, because we could go harsher, but we're still putting it into respectable terms. That was simply embarrassing. And the second half was something that, it's not that I didn't think, like at the end of the day, we all know what can happen with this club, but I didn't think we could sink that low in the second half to lose that game. From honestly, and it should have been an unlosable position. It should have been. So, yes, I understand there's no Tino. I understand there's no Asia. I understand there's all these guys. Even Dave Fafita wasn't playing. And I do think Dave would have torn them up that day. I really do. I don't know if I'd say we'd win, but I think we probably would have won with Dave just because he would have dominated them. But with that being said, that's should have, could have, would have. You know, who cares? We ultimately lost the game. And it was embarrassing. So it doesn't mean I won't be there for the Warriors game. It doesn't mean I won't be there for the rest of the season. I will always be there. But I think that we do have the right to say that was poor. And that was really poor. And I definitely didn't expect that sinking that low.
To add to that, they were missing Lachlan Galvin, their 5'8". They were missing one of the best front row forwards in David Clemmer. They were missing both their back rowers in John Bateman and Isaiah Papali'i. They were missing their usual winger in Solomon Alamalo. They missed their stand-in winger, Alex Lobb. They missed their starting prop, Alex Twal. They missed their other winger, Junior Tupou. They were missing Stafford Toa, who plays center for them. And they were missing Jaden Sullivan, their stand-in halfback. We won every stat. That's just, I don't know what to say, man. How do you lose that game? And I want to move on because I don't want to get too negative here.
Well, I want to say before we do move on is that people keep saying, like, you know, why is JC in the six, right? I don't think JC was awful in the game. Also kicked a 40-20, mind you. But I do understand why people are criticizing him amongst other players, right? And they're saying, well, where's Tanner? Tanner's healthy. Tanner Boyd is healthy right now. He was down there. He was ready to go. But Desi doesn't see it that way. Desi is trialing and putting Jaden Campbell into the 5'8 because he wants him on the field because he is one of our better players in his day. And because Keanu Kenny has been so good of late, he's been unbelievable of late, especially in this game, it does justify Des not putting Jaden Campbell to the fullback. But if you don't put, like, if you put Tanner into those halves there, which I have said, by the way, I have said that, where do you put Jaden Campbell? Like, do you put him into the 14? And if so, how does he impact the game? Like, how does he come on and impact the game there? But also, this isn't having to go at JC, because this game was not JC's fault. This was the entirety of the team's fault. There's just things that I'm picking up from online spaces where, you know, everyone always wants one scapegoat. But this game, there is not one scapegoat. And also, to go down on what you said, yes, Keanu Kenny was absolutely superb. He was clearly the best player, I believe, in the entire game. Despite the fact that we lost, it was still better than Utukumanu. It was still better than, because obviously our 3-2-1s, I put Utukumanu second and I put Keanu first for the 3 points. Keanu was incredible. However, yes, he doesn't know when to make the pass. compared to he also doesn't know when to run the ball. And I would scream like that too if Keanu was doing I did scream like that too. But yeah, he doesn't – what I would say is Keanu needs to understand – I don't know how he even fixes it personally. I'm not a professional rugby league player. He knows way more – he's going to know way more than me. But he went to pass the ball at the wrong times and didn't pass the ball at the wrong times. And that's a big reason as to why we probably couldn't get the lead as well, without saying that it's Keanu's fault, because again, it's collective. But that try, if Jacob Alec gets that ball, he's right in front of us. They score. They're like 10, 15 minutes out. Jacob Alec 100% scores. I will also say, though, and this is not blaming referees, that is 100% a professional foul right on half time, where I think it was him who got held short of the line by like 1 meter, and they held on top of him for like a good nearly like 6, 7, 8 seconds. It was ridiculous. And that's what Kieran was arguing about. Should have been a penalty right there and a professional foul. We go for the two. Now it's 12-6 or whatever. Can't remember, 12-4, whatever. Point of the matter is, that moment right there also changed the game. But again, I go back and say the whole effort from the club was poor.
Yep, and that's the thing. Like, I will honestly say, I believe the reason why the Tigers player was not sin binned right before halftime is because if you go back to the last 3 or 4 games, the Tigers have had a sin bin player. And the referee is subconsciously thinking in there, or they've done a review where they're seeing all these Tigers players sin bin, and they're thinking, I don't want, you know, them to think there's some conspiracy against the club. I'm going to let that borderline one go. But I'm not even going to begin to go down that path, because we should have won the game anyway. You cannot lead every stat like we did, make less missed tackles, and lose that game.
Nine breaks to two.
It's disgraceful. And I'll finish with this. When the full-time siren went, I was with one of my best mates, being you, my partner, and I just met two people, Danny and Blake, that I've spoken with a lot online, and it was an exciting day. I've never felt more embarrassed and low as a Titans fan at full-time. That genuinely, and I know the players don't really care because it's a job to them, but I'm sure a lot of fans felt this way. That ruined my weekend. Absolutely ruined it. Really, really tough to take, mate. Let's move into it.
No, I know you've tried to move it on a couple of times now, but I will step in there and say, because that, unfortunately, you're not intending to do it, but that unfortunately will encourage others to think the players don't care or the club doesn't care. I can tell you that they absolutely do. We saw how Brett White was. No, I know you don't mean like that. That's why I'm just clarifying it to people. We saw how Brett White was at the end of that game. I see Brett White after every game. I see him every single week. This was the saddest and most dejected that I've seen Brett throughout all that time. You know, the boys, yes, obviously, you're going to see them posting like normal on stories and on posts and whatnot, but you guys don't know that they do care. Like, just because this is something I spoke about on a recent video I did on BKR Sport. You only see what people want you to see. I'm telling you, these guys aren't going out and putting up posts and whatnot of them being sad. I'll do it as a fan, and you'll do it as a fan, and we'll all do it as fans. But the players don't want that. They still want the vibes up. They still want, they know like they've got to go again next week kind of deal. So I don't want anyone to think that these players don't care or don't give a shit about this club, because it's just simply not true. But again, you only see what you're given. You only see what they want you to see.
Yeah, man, we all care. I've got no doubt the players and all the coaching staff do care a great deal. I'm just still struggling to come to terms with it, I suppose. I'm really hopeful we get to see some positivity this weekend. I feel like our whole community needs it. Let's please now leave that in the past.
One more thing. No, I'm joking. We'll move on. No, I was just waiting for you to say it again so I could say it.
Yeah, I never want to speak about that game again, if I'm absolutely honest, mate. I want to forget it. 3-2-1s. So let's get to some positivity from the game. No surprise who we both have for our 3-2-1. It's going to be Keanu Kinney for you and for me. He had a try assist, 321 metres, which is a new club record, 8 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks, 3 line break assists, and 3 offloads. So really great effort and attacking stats there by Keanu Kinney. Who are you going to give your 2 points to? And any further word on Keanu?
Yeah, obviously, big shout out there to Keanu. Obviously, I did have a little bit to say about the little nitty gritty negative things that are there as well before. But overall, Keanu knows I absolutely, you know, support and love what he does. And I thought, and I gave him my 3 points on our Dally M ranking system. Gave him the 3 there because he was incredible. You know, at the end of the day, nobody's perfect. And obviously, his game wasn't perfect, but it was, you know, close enough, especially in the attack and regards. And would have had a couple more tries, in my opinion, as well, you know, if he had that. So it just shows how quality Lofiana Camprera is. Not Lofiana Camprera, Keanu Kenny is. Now, my 2 points, I will tell you, it is super difficult. It is super difficult to go through the team and to find the guys that, I do want to give it to. But I will say my 2 points is going to go to Kalise Haas. I'm going to go to Kalise Haas here. I think that for a guy that is injured right now, to have 10 runs for 120 run meters, he had 51 post-contact meters in his game with 2 tackle breaks as well, had a couple of dummy passes, but 38 tackles for just the 3 missed there. I thought that he did a great job, man, and I think that he is one of the more underrated players. We say this every week. He's one of the more underrated players in our team right now. He's been doing this all season long, and I do think that he deserves the 2 points in this one.
Yeah, much respect to Kalise for battling through that injury and putting in a huge stint in the middle there for us. Scoreline could have been even uglier, which is horrible to think about without him. I went JoJo for Feedham for my 2 points. Not as good in the second half, but that's kind of when the whole team disintegrated. He did finish with 1 try, 216 metres, 4 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks and a line break assists. The way JoJo started that game and the attacking form he was in, if we could just ignore the next 70 minutes, like genuinely, that is so exciting. And it shows why, I guess, the club has had this faith in JoJo for a number of years now. They've always known he's capable and had this potential. And I really want to see JoJo start to unlock it and build on the consistency, because in my mind, he is a guy you can depend on for a try most games in 200 plus meters with some powerful early hit ups and that Brian Toto kind of style of winger. So great game by JoJo. He gets my 2 points. Who is going to get your 1 point?
Yeah, my 1 point is also going to go to JoJo. I think that he definitely deserves it. He's got stats there. He's got 216 meters. You know, he was safe under the high ball. I didn't understand why they were continuously actually kicking towards JoJo, because he's very safe under the high ball, whilst Alofana Camprera has been known to, you know, have a few issues with some of the high balls there. So I think that was a tactic the Tigers probably did miss out on. But probably didn't do anything wrong in that regard this time around. But overall, I do think that it would have been smarter for them to go Loffy's way rather than JoJo, who was so safe under the high ball. So, yeah, I'll give my 1 point there to JoJo for Feeder.
My 1 point goes to Jaden Campbell. Kicked the 40-20 early, which got us back on the front foot. Scored a try himself. Had 3 tackle breaks, 120 metres, and defended not too bad with 18 tackles there for just the 1 miss. I don't think it was Jaden's best game, but compared to what we got from a lot of other players.
Besides Kenny, bro, besides Keanu, it was nobody's best game.
Yep, fair. I'd go as far to say we could honestly not give points this week, but I think that's unfair because the players were still out there giving their best. So we will award our points and continue the frontline's finest leaderboard. And, of course, we do have a real medal, which we will get given to the winner at the end of the year. We'll move to our affiliates recap, mate, where we're going to look at our top 30 players and how they did. From what I can see on the website, it looks like Jalen DeGroot. I don't think he's been moved into our top 30, but he is on a development deal. So we'll talk about his performance. Cutters defeat the Jets 30-16. So we lose there. And Devils defeat Tweed 42-10. Seagulls fall to 12th on the ladder, and the Jets remain in last place. How did our Jets affiliated Titans players go, Blaze?
Yeah, fun week for the Gold Coast. Jalen DeGroote, 101 metres, 4 tackle breaks and just the 1 error there. Big Ken Mamalo, 112 metres, 2 errors and no attacking stats, but he did go for 112 there. Ryan Foran, 97 metres from 7 hit-ups with 1 tackle break, 1 line break and 30 tackles for just the 2 miss. So, Ryan obviously had a pretty decent game there. From 7 hit-ups to get 100 metres, that is pretty damn solid with a couple extra attacking stats and not many missed tackles. So I think that, yeah, Ryan is the standout there.
Completely agree. And Ryan's still getting back from that knee injury from earlier this year. So I think this is his 3rd game back. Still building on his match fitness, of course. And, you know, anytime you're getting a line break, 30 tackles and close to 100 metres from a back rower, you're happy with that effort. For our Seagulls, we just had the one player. It was Isaac Fa'asuamala'awi. He moved to prop. He played 53 minutes. He had 6 runs for 51 meters, and he made 33 tackles for 1 missed. 3 of those were ineffective, and he had no errors. Now, I'm actually a bit disappointed. I'm not sure if I'm just, you know, that's just the general theme of this week, but I expected a bit more from Isaac, man. Starting at prop, like, he's a guy that's been recalled into our NRL squad this week. Last week, he had 100-plus meters and, you know, 25 or so tackles, and I really wanted to see him build on that consistency. Look, maybe it comes down to Tweed just got pumped. I mean, it was a 42-10, so maybe there wasn't too many opportunities to have effective hit-ups and build the meters. 33 tackles for 1 missed is pretty good, though, but maybe I've set the bar a bit too high for Isaac, but I still see a lot of potential in him, man. Do you see the same?
Oh, yeah, I think that this is one thing that I really want to hone in on, and this is not having a go at any player. This is not criticising anybody. This is just saying that people demanding players to be dropped and then people demanding players to come up from the Host Plus Cup. Please, my only request is actually watch a little bit of the Host Plus Cup or listen to the stats that we provide here on the podcast or go and do the research for the stats, because a lot of people say names just for the sake of it and they don't actually understand that whether their form's not great or there is a reason why they're not being selected. Like, it's crazy to me how many people are so definitive in their opinion about something they don't really know. And again, you are entitled to your opinion. You are entitled to have this thought process and whatnot. But I just think that when it comes to, you know, people like myself and you who obviously do keep in touch with this, and obviously just people in general that do watch Host Plus Cup, it does look a little bit silly sometimes when you get these recommendations and demands, and especially when it comes to, you know, like the halves, like people, like it just doesn't make a great deal of sense to me why people say you have to drop this person for this person and don't actually recognize that the stats aren't in their favor at Host Plus Cup level, or even the stats actually are in their favor at the Titans level and it's just kind of the scapegoat people are going with. Anyway, it really frustrates me. But anyway, Isaac, he has been doing better than the early part of his season. Last week was obviously really good. This week, it wasn't awful. I wouldn't say it was awful, but it wasn't his best. But Isaac is now a part of the team against the Warriors, and hopefully he turns up here. But like those stats there weren't exactly fantastic.
And to build on what you're saying there and add an example for our listeners, Aaron Schopp's stats for the Jets, you know, we recapped his game every week and they were very impressive. 200 meters, tries, multiple tackle breaks. Now, we can say this now because he's no longer with the club. He's a guy who came in at NRL level for us and he played okay against the Warriors, and his game against the Knights and Magic Round really wasn't that good. And the point that I really want to make with that is stats don't tell the full picture, but if you're not dominating the stats at Queensland Cup level, you will struggle in the NRL. It is a big jump. And NRL players that go back, look at Keanu Kinney, they dominate that level of competition.
But even if you're not dominating at that level, even if you are dominating at that level and coming up into the NRL, it doesn't always translate because the game is so much faster. It's so much damn well faster. So, yeah, and just reminder to everybody, the staff, as in like guys like Michael Monaghan, you know, Buff Anthony, LeFrankie, Desi Haslov, everybody, right? They all watch these guys. They know them in and out. They are going through recordings. They are going through debriefings. They're watching the game. They're watching individual player, you know, shots and videos and that have been, you know, done for them. They are doing so much research into these guys. They watch them at train. They see them at train. They know how they're eating. They know what they're, you know, they're thinking, basically. They know these guys in and out. So with the respect given to the fans for having an opinion, because you are always entitled to an opinion, please understand that it's not just that, like, it's not just as easy as kind of what people are just throwing out there. There is a lot that goes into it.
100% agree, mate. And speaking of watching these players or watching these games, the Jets have a bye this round, so we're not able to watch them. But Tweed do play our former affiliate club, the Burley Bears. That's at 10 past 2 p.m. on the Sunday afternoon. This game will be on 9 now, so 9 streaming platform, and KO. Now, there's no NRL game at 2 p.m. this week because it's a shortened round. That's at 4 p.m. So it's a great opportunity for everyone to watch our Tweed Seagulls and see how they go. I'm not too sure which Titans are named there, mate. Let's actually look at that now. All right, guys, welcome back. Sorry for that quick edit there. We've just had a look at the team list. Vaka Sikahale is coming off the bench, and Oscar Bryant. They are two Titans-affiliated players. Oscar Bryant's a hooker there. They are ones you want to watch closely in that Seagulls team. And if you do want to look at other players from Burley that we could potentially sign in the future, I would say keep an eye on their 14, Cole Geyer. He is another hooker. It's Cameron Smith's godson and Matt Geyer's son. So Mark Geyer's nephew, a lot of NRL in his family there. And also Charlie Murray. Now, he was a guy we had on our books as a development player, a junior development player, signed with the Storm, now at Burley. Keep an eye on those two. I reckon they're two players that we could potentially grab on a contract in the future. But for our team, Vaka Sikahale and Oscar Bryant are the ones to watch, Blaze. Anything further from you before we move on? I believe you've got an interview with ABC coming up about the Warriors game, which we'll preview now.
Yeah, well, we haven't. I was going to do it when we were doing the preview. when we get into the preview, we'll hold this for a second, guys. We'll get into our preview, and I'm going to give you a good stat about when I do an interview with ABC. I'm going to give you a good stat about why we're going to win this game. All right,
mate. Absolutely love that. I'll let you preview the game first. So we've got the Warriors at 3 p.m. on Saturday. We're at Cbus Super Stadium. We have met them earlier this year. It was Anzac Day, and we did get the win there. You were the star of the show in the crowd there on Fox League in that one. That was awesome. But yeah, mate, I'll let you go first. I went first for our recap, so you go first for our preview. How are you seeing this game?
The funny thing about that, right, was when we were at that function down there in Sydney at the harbour area, I went outside and there was a three, because the Warriors game, they were playing the Storm at the exact same time we all got to the function. And I went outside and there was these three Warriors guys there, and one goes, "Oh, you're the guy from the TV with the Titans and the Warriors." And I said, "That's me, bro, that's me." So it's not that they even knew actually the Big House Sport or the social media side. They just remembered me from the TV where I was just screaming in their face. They were like, "Oh, we hated you that night, bro. We hated you." But yeah, look, that was a really good time. That was my first ever time in New Zealand. And so I can say that we are undefeated when I'm in New Zealand. How good's that? But yeah, look, obviously this is a really, really difficult one for us coming into this game. We know very, very well, if you go to games, Cbus for Warriors games, you know that they absolutely pack out that crowd, man. And I think the biggest thing that concerns me about the crowd is that the Warriors are not necessarily doing great, but also will still get probably 15K minimum, despite the fact that they aren't doing fantastic right now, compared to us, who are at literally the bottom of the table with the worst points differential in the game. And our fan base, our club, and our players, I won't speak on behalf of the players, but our fan base and our club are very dejected right now from what's going on. And I really struggle to see a lot of Titans fans getting out to this game. So I do plead, everybody who's listening to this, please get out to this game. Do your best to get out. I know it's not easy. I know it's really tough, but please, for the community, the best case scenario is to have as many possible Titans fans there just to drown out the noise. They aren't allowed their drumming this time, which is good. We have sorted that out because that just puts us well on the back foot. But yes, you know, please get out. Now, in regards to the actual game itself, I do think that we would have had a great opportunity to sneak this one had we had a guy like Kalise Huff still playing, because he is still very, very defensively sound. Does a great job there. Obviously, we get Dave Fifita back in for this game, which is a massive, massive bonus there. Huge. Absolutely huge. But we do lose Maui Fotowaka goes to Origin. However, they also lose Mitchell Barnett, which I don't think they would have been expecting to preseason. And who's the other one they lost?
Kurt Capewa.
So, yeah, look, the Warriors are without a couple of their forwards. We're without a couple of our forwards. We do get one of our forwards back in who will surely have something to prove. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm nervous. You know, I definitely am nervous. But if we can beat them in New Zealand with their genuine home crowd, we can beat them on the Gold Coast with their, you know, Gold Coast base. So it's going to be a tough one. Could I see a world where we get flogged? Absolutely. I could see a world. But I also can see a world where we lose very close. And I can also see a world where we win extremely close. But I can't see a world where we blow this team out, especially with the fact that we've still got big time players out.
When I was recording my betting show earlier this week, a lot of people, I guess I'll be transparent, decided I was tipping the Warriors. I said I think they'll win. And a lot of people said that the Titans are in a tough spot, but that's when they'll respond, and they think that we can win this. So certainly not the whole view online is that we're going to lose this game, but I think that we are underdogs for a reason.
Now, they're feeling sorry for us, though, or do you think they genuinely believe that?
Well, so the people that watch that show that I'm on are like cold, hard cash on their predictions. They're all punters. So I think they genuinely believe it, whether they're just saying that because they see value in the price potentially, but who knows what they're
is
thinking.
Is there value, though? That's the thing. It's $2.50. We're only $2.50. I was expecting us to be like 4-1 underdogs in this game. And sorry to talk about gambling for people listening and whatnot, but it is relevant to the conversation. Yeah. Is that we are $2.50 underdogs to their $1.50. I was expecting us to be like 4-1 and them at $1.20 based on the fact that we have been so poor these last 2 weeks. The bookies must be kind of thinking about that previous 8-week stint where we did look really, really good for the most part. But I guess as Titans fans, where maybe it is good that we're hearing those outside perspectives like you've just said, because our thoughts right now are so down in the dumps about where this team is, that we can't see that maybe, yeah, we could be up for an ambush here to surprise the Warriors. So I think that's a good thing you said.
And the other thing is gambling websites or services, whatever you call them, offer a line for each game, which is set at, let's say, 5, which means the underdog has to win by at least 5 and the favorite can't lose by more than 5. So it gives you essentially a 50-50. We covered the last 8 weeks in a row. So I think there's also, from a gambling perspective, I think they are worried about that if those Titans come back. But to the game itself specifically for my preview, we did meet them on Anzac Day, but it was a Warriors side that was in a tough spot. We just didn't realize how tough it was at the time because they drew with Manly and then lost to the Dragons. So we all expected them to kind of respond and probably beat us in that game. A lot of people thought we would lose. It ended up being a 5-game patch for the Warriors where they didn't win a game. Now, they had one draw in there. This time around, their last 5 actually includes 3 wins, and 2 of those are over the Dolphins and Panthers, which are top 4 sides. Now, it's the Titans heading into this one. We're in the tough spot. We also lose Moeki Fotuaika. That really hurts.
And we hadn't won a game. We were 0-6 going into that game against the Warriors, so let's not pretend we weren't in a tough spot ourselves.
But I think we're in a tougher spot now because we have shown we can compete with the best teams, and all of a sudden we've just lost to the last place side twice. So it's no longer the question of let's use the example when we lost to the Dragons and Bulldogs in the early games of this season. It was, when are we going to show what we've got? We've shown what we've got now. We just haven't been able to consistently apply it. But it is a great point that you bring up because, yeah, that was our first win. It's not like we weren't in a tough spot. We're in a very tough spot as well. We're in a tough spot again. Definitely, we'd have to agree on that. And the Warriors did score 24 points on us last time. And I just think on recent form, with what I saw against the Bunnies and now the Tigers, I don't know if we have 24 points in us this time. I really don't. I think they could have more points because the Tigers didn't really offer all that much in attack at all, and they still ended with 18 points on us. So my other concern, and this is a really strange concern to have because I do have an immense amount of belief and trust in Dez, but I'm just wondering, what can he say to really motivate us with the circumstances we're in? Or really, you know, pump this team up and get them out there ready to rip in like we did against the Storm? The Warriors aren't quite an elite side, so it's not like you can switch your psyche to let's test ourselves against the best. And when we verse the best sides, we have turned up, and then when we verse the worst sides, we haven't. They're somewhere in the middle. So I don't know what Dez says there or how he gets a big reaction out of our side to get back to our consistent best. Whereas all Andrew Webster needs to do for the Warriors here is say, hey, these guys beat you at home last time. It was the first win of the season. They embarrassed you. They've also won 4 of their last 5 games against you. The only time you beat them in the last 5 was when Moeki Fotuaika was sent off, which was crap, by the way, but whatever. That's a story for another day. And the Warriors have lost 3 of their last 4 away games. Now, those are all stats plays that are actually positive in our favor. If we're in a better spot, I'd be using all those stats saying why we can win.
Pop the champagne, buddy.
Popping the champagne. But I popped all the champagne I had last week. Literally. I said there's no way we could lose that game. So, man,
we're off to Tajikistan. You're off to Uzbekistan, mate.
Yeah, I think it was the other way around, but it was definitely a country ending.
No, I'm Tajikistan and you're Uzbekistan.
Looking forward to it. We'll do a BKR vlog from there. We've also only won 1 of our 6 games at home this year, mate. So it's not like, you know, I know you're building a great atmosphere there and we appreciate the front line and all the fans getting around, but we haven't quite built it into a fortress yet as a footy team. I think the fans off the field have done their job like yourself, but only one win from six.
Awesome. You know, I talked about that. Obviously, you were in this conversation with Steve. Yep. He said that there's a stat, and it's factual, that we're actually in the top three across the entirety of the NRL for stadium atmosphere. You know, we've been ranked by the NRL's top three. So, you know, that's good news, just despite the facts. But that was something that Steve Mitchell, our CEO, did tell us.
Yeah, and we're still getting great ticket sales and everything off the field's going great from a club perspective, which is a credit to our community and the whole Titans people that have membership rather and fans that get to games, etc. That's a great sign. But the fact we have only won one win, we should have made that our flags at the start. We should have done it.
For anyone on Spotify and Apple, I've currently got the Tajikistan national flag behind me.
Tajikistan pride. We'll be the first captain coaches of their nation once we move over there. But look, mate, one from six at home. It's not good enough. It might as well be a Warriors home game. That might help us because we have won more away games this year, I think, than we have at home. But my tip, all things considered, if I've got to give a tip, mate, I'm going to say Warriors. I think the Titans we're really down and defeated at the moment as a club. We need an injection of energy. Maybe that's AJ Brimson returning from injury or something like that. And if I have to offer a key to victory like we do every week, I'm literally going to go as simple as let's complete sets and make our tackles. Because those are two simple things. We haven't really done it the last fortnight, though, have we? We've got it right at times, but we've got the simple things wrong. So let's just play a simple game of footy, complete at a high percentage, get back to that defense during that 8-stretch game period where we defended really well. And if we do that, we give ourselves a chance. That's the thing I can say about the last fortnight. We haven't given ourselves a chance by our own actions. So let's get the simple things right. Give it a crack against the Warriors. But gun to my head, have to give a prediction. I think the Warriors win this one, mate. What's your final key to victory and your final prediction for this game?
I think the key to victory here is, and I do believe that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is actually back for this game as well. But I thought we locked him down pretty well last time out. I think the key to victory here is just to actually just genuinely believe in the team that we have. I think it's just as simple as that. I think the boys over the last couple of weeks would definitely be feeling a lot more down and maybe not so much believing in kind of the progress that we have been making, and valid to be thinking that. And I think that our key to victory here is to believe and remember that the team we have right now is still very, very similar to the team that got us through those 8-week period where we had to go through some really, really tough times, but yet we would be so close with the Storm. We would be so close with Manly. We beat the Cowboys with half our team out. We, you know, beat the Warriors, you know, over there in New Zealand. You know, we stayed there in Canberra. We stayed there all over the place. So I feel like the main thing for us is just to remember that this team does have it in them, but I know the Warriors will throw everything at us. However, I also think that targeting Sean Johnson is huge here because Sean Johnson is not what he once was. Sean Johnson last year, I think we both predicted, obviously, that he would start to regress. He didn't. Last year was unbelievable. This year, I think there's clear signs that they need to start moving towards a younger Haas pairing. Tamati Martin has been doing really good stuff there for them. You know, they've got guys like Shannel Harris-Tavita. Luke Metcalf is obviously injured. But at the end of the day, I do believe the Warriors need to start looking towards their future and put Shawnee Jay into a coaching role, similar to what we want to do with Kieran Foran there. But yeah, I think that if we can target Sean Johnson, you know, force some pressure onto him, I think that we can really start to expose that he is on the back trajectory, the downwards trajectory from what has been an illustrious career. So that's my thoughts. I am going to, I will take the Warriors 1-12 in this one. I really, really hope that we don't get absolutely annihilated. I really, really hope this. I will say in a really close one, the Warriors, and we'll show plenty of pride and effort, similar to like a Storm game, similar to a Manly game. We show so much pride and effort, but we lose. Shit will hit the fan if we lose this game by like 20, 30 plus. Like it will. And it already has hit the fan, but man, like it will be, I do feel like you'll probably start to hear fans booing and stuff, which I hate and hurts me. It really does. But I think that people will start to do that if we get thumped in this game. So I just want to see some effort. I just want to see some, you know, real passion in the jersey and to grind out, whether it be a win or a close, very close, you know, good effort loss.
100%. Just show us what you're made of, boys. Put in that effort. Try your best. Get the simple things right. And the fans are all behind you, 100%. We're all here with you, and we all want the same thing. That is the Gold Coast to be successful in the NRL. So let's go out there and give it a red-hot crack. All right, mate, let's move to our Phone the Frontline section. We forgot to put it on our stories this week, so we do have two here to get through. Our first one comes from J-Lad, and it goes for 45 seconds. We'll play it now.
I don't think I've been so angry at a game before in my life. The amount of calls that went against us, Klein missing five high shots against Pahulu and Loffy, and then about three illegal strips from the Tigers. He may as well have been wearing a Tigers jersey the entire game. Seven errors doesn't help us. Too many errors. Liu does not deserve to be in the squad next week, but I know he will. Honestly, I'd rather Stimpson over Liu at this point. And I can't believe I'm saying that. But this team is a basket case at the moment, but I still support them.
I mean, it's fair. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I just don't know how much it helps if we kind of add to that. I'm disappointed too, J-Lad, man. I've never felt more disappointed when a full-time siren went, to be honest with you, mate. But I just think with this podcast, like, we do have a responsibility to represent the frontline community of the Titans to the best of our ability. And I don't want to pile on to anything you've said there. The only thing I will respond to is, yes, there were some refereeing decisions that were contentious, but we need to be better as a club. If we play to 50% of our ability against the Tigers, we still win that game comfortably. The reality is we probably played to like 20% of what we're capable of. We've shown what we were capable of early, and that's to dominate them. And we just really fell away from that. So I don't want to blame anything external. I just want to say as a club, we weren't good enough in that game. What are your thoughts on J-Lad's message there?
Yeah, look, obviously we're not going to just lump onto the players. I can understand the frustrations that people do have with Isaac Liu. I can understand that. But with that being said, like, we also, and this wasn't a disrespectful one, but I have seen some very disrespectful things online. So people, like, please, and like I said on the Facebook groups and whatnot, please be understanding and respectful to have a constructive chat around your opinions, not just saying this guy, you know, and then abusing him basically, and then other people go at you and then you'll go at them kind of deal. That's how it all starts, right? So I can understand the frustrations there, and I can understand the frustrations to do with the, you know, players and whatnot, but we're not going to sit here and lump on them, because I know that Isaac Liu is such a kind-hearted guy and does really want to do well for us. But unfortunately, he's probably coming towards the back end of his career. You know, it does happen. The older you get, the harder it gets. You know what I'm saying? So, and he's had a long, illustrious career with the Roosters, and unfortunately, it hasn't necessarily worked out here. But he is definitely trying his best. What I will say in regards to the referees is that I'm happy to come out against the Raiders game, and I'm also happy to come out against the Knights game, and then conversate about games like the Storm and Manly and whatnot, or all these controversies. But I don't think that it's necessary to blame this loss whatsoever on the referee. I don't think so. We should have won this game regardless of referee. And we did speak about a really poor call, in my personal opinion, right on halftime, where it should have been professional foul and whatnot. We did speak about that, but that doesn't mean that this game was decided by the referees. It was decided by the fact that we just weren't good enough. We were not good enough on the day, and we got humiliated and embarrassed when we really shouldn't have. So, no, I don't blame the referees there, regardless of the opinion that potentially there was all these bad calls against us. That's not what I'm looking at. What I'm looking at is the fact that even with those, we didn't show enough to prove that we were the better team of the day.
That's it, mate. And, you know, you can blame external things, but we just got to focus on what we can control as a club, and that is our performance on the field. Well, that's there. I'm saying as if, you know, we're all connected as the same community, but when I say them, I mean them. It's what the players can control, and that is their performance on the field. We can't influence or control these referee decisions. There's some that are going to go our way. There's some that aren't. Simple as that. We could have been a lot better against the Tigers, and I think that's where, as Titans fans, we should put our effort and energy.
Well, I think, another thing to say there is that when we conversate about games like the Storm, like Manly, you know, and these performances, and we say, oh, there is a question mark on the referees throughout the game, it's usually because we've been super close. Like both those games were super, super close. And when we're conversating about it, we're saying that there is a reason to be upset. And then in regards to the Raiders and Knights, there is a reason to be upset, and that's where I call robbery. This game, I don't think there is a reason to be upset overall. I think where we should be directing that upsetness is at the performance as a collective.
Completely agree, mate. Let's go one more today. Let's listen to Maxi's voicemail, which goes for a minute.
Hey, boys. Maxi here. What a shocking second half. Honestly, I think that was worse than the Dolphins game. We blew a 26-0 lead. Look, I don't know what happened. I think fatigue just hit us. It was good, you know, the last, 10 weeks. For 8 of them, we were looking better and better each week. We may have not been winning, but gee whiz, we were looking like the whole fan base got behind the team. And these last 2 weeks, we faced 16th and 17th, and we get pumped by one, and we lose to the worst team in the comp that hasn't won since, round 5, was it? It's just shocking. Only people that played well, pretty much, I believe, were Jojo played well, Kinney, and Sammy. Far out. Kelly gave you this crack, but just too many errors, so many drop balls. I had to shut up. Last 10 minutes, couldn't watch. Literally went and had, I couldn't do it. It's just this club, man, just far out. Yeah, thanks. Love the content, boys. Keep it up.
Thank you very much for the kind words at the end there, man. We appreciate it a lot. I agree. It's sometimes hard being a Titans fan. You know, even Tigers fans can look back at a premiership in 2005 and watch the highlights and celebrate the legends of their club. We only really have a couple legends of our club. Preston Campbell, Matt Rogers, Luke Bailey. I wouldn't even say like Scott Prince is a legend of the club because he left us to go to the Broncos at the end of his career and now coaches them. He turned his back on the Titans, as far as I'm concerned.
I'll give you a controversial legend of the club. Willie Zealy, mate. Will Zealman, mate. What a legend of the club.
Yeah, gave plenty for the club. Those are the limited legends that we have to look back on. We don't have any premierships or really fantastic finals moments we can look back on and even celebrate. And so when we are in a tough spot like we are now, it's really hard to stay positive as Titans fans. So I definitely feel your pain, Maxi. And just to reiterate one final time, and I'm not exaggerating, when the full-time siren went against the Tigers, that is the worst and the lowest I've ever felt as a Titans fan since I started supporting this club. That's how bad it felt. Have you got a worse one?
No, I was just going to say, do you remember, I think it was like 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago, and you thought we'd knocked on or something like that? And you yelled out something like, I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah, that's what I yelled. I can't take this anymore. And I put my head in my lap and was looking down. And you said, that wasn't a knock on. And I said, all right, I can take it again. And then we actually did knock it on like 2 tackles later.
Oh, yeah. That was quite funny. It wasn't funny in the time. Well, it was kind of funny, but I understand your pain and your frustration, mate. So I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you, but it was very funny. It's very funny to think back on. Because Dane did lose it. He had enough, you know, and fair enough, really. But, this is what else can we really say at this point after voice message? Firstly, we definitely do appreciate the love that you have for the content and whatnot. We are doing our very, very best there. Would I say it's as bad as the Dolphins last year? I think that it is on a similar wavelength, but they're so polar different reasons, right? The Dolphins game wasn't a symbolization of the entirety of the season, in my opinion. The entirety of the season was actually encapsulated by the Bulldogs and Knights games in back-to-back games, which is the exact same, and this is why this Tigers game impacts this whole fan base the same, is because this game was the exact equivalent of last year. We went, and this exact period last year was the Bulldogs game, which is a very similar one to the Tigers, and the Knights game, which was a very similar one to the Rabbitohs. We come into those two thinking, we're going to beat these two teams. We just beat Manly. We're going to beat these two teams. They're down the bottom area of the table. Knights, Bulldogs, not good. We lose both of them. Season's pretty much done from there. We recognize that. This year, the reason why the Tigers won impacts so much is because the Rabbitohs and the Tigers are the exact same equivalent. So we go into the Rabbitohs game thinking we're going to beat them. They're last place. We get flogged. And the Tigers game, we lose. So it is a very big symbolization for, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you guys. I'm not going to pretend that it's not looking good in regards to making the eight. It's probably out of the equation for me. The players will say otherwise, and the club will probably believe otherwise. But I think on a realistic level, we can't be thinking about finals right now. We need to be thinking about salvaging our season enough that we don't get that last place. Because getting last place, guys, if you are new to this club, or even if you are, you know, long-term, if you're new to this club, you don't understand this feeling too much. But if you're long-term, you get it. 2019, going to those final couple of games, knowing full well that we had the spoon, is awful. Like, it is dead set dreadful. The atmosphere is honestly pathetic. So for me, I just need to see us not get last and just finish around that fourth last, fifth last, which sucks to say, man. We're doing mathematics right now just to not come last. Like, we need, I mean, the Tigers play the Raiders this week, we play the Warriors. We need the Tigers to lose by two more points than we lose by for them to, and that's assuming we lose, but we need the Tigers to lose by two more points than us to go into last place. So we're doing mathematics for that. We're not doing mathematics for the top eight. So it's a harsh reality, and that's why we're all so far down in the dumps right now. But at the end of the day, and this is what I really reiterate to everybody, we get through it as a community. We get through it together. And that's all that we can damn well do, because you're feeling the same way as I'm feeling, the same way that he's feeling, the same way the club's feeling, same way the players are feeling. We're all in the shit together. And I will say shit. We are in the deepest of shit right now. But again, I do it because I love you, and we all do it because we love this team. So just get out there, support us this week, and take some solace in the people that you see around you, because when we are successful, there will be no other party like it. When we win that premiership, and I had this, and I'm going off a little bit long here, but I had on Instagram, I get quite a few messages from people, like young lads asking like to if they want to support a team, and they feel a little bit awkward because their family goes for other teams and whatnot, and they want to support the Titans. And this young lad asked me the other day, he's like, all my family are Cowboys fans, I live in Brisbane, but I want to go for the Gold Coast Titans. Like, what do I do? And I said, well, listen, I won't lie to you. This is the hardest team to support. But when that moment comes, there is not going to be another team that understands the contentness, the party, the vibration, and the unbelievable, surreal, successful experience that we will, because it's never happened on the Gold Coast before, and we've gone through so much down times. We haven't had an up time. So, and 2010 was too quick for it to actually mean anything. I'm actually kind of glad we didn't win there, because it was just too quick. It wouldn't have been the same. So I know it's really, really tough, but the people that are here right now that you see are the people that matter. Not the other people. Just be there on Saturday. Support this team as best as you can. And we love you.
Get down there. Get loud and proud, guys. Get behind our team. And if you can't get down there, stay positive, or as positive as you can on social media. Don't join the growing boos and the growing hate comments around the club. We don't need it. We need to all dig ourselves out of this hole together, guys. We'll wrap up the show there. And I do just want to say to everyone, thank you very much for being here with us. This is probably one of those ones where we can completely understand that the views and the listeners are down. People probably aren't too interested right now with what's going on. But if you did join the podcast, you're still here at the podcast now. You are a bloody legend, and you love this club just as much as we do. And that is a strong love and something very, very special. And we absolutely appreciate it. So keep the faith, guys. We will get through this. I really appreciate it one last time. And over to you, Blaze, to farewell the pod.
Yeah, now that he's finished talking, I can say before this podcast started, he had Warriors hat on. But yeah, look, I'm looking forward to
zing.
The podcast zing. To go, mate. Now, look, like he said, you get around it, guys. We definitely do appreciate it. It's not really about kind of views and all that type of stuff for us here on the podcast. It is just about kind of being there and being an active voice for a club that you can listen to and to kind of get you through it, because it is a good outlet for us, because we get to talk and conversate. That's why we encourage you to jump on SpeakPipe, guys. We encourage you, once the game is finished, whether we win, whether we lose throughout the week, you have a question, jump onto SpeakPipe and send it through. Doesn't matter what it is, man, because we will listen to it. And yeah, it is a good outlet for you guys to have your opinion heard as well. Please obviously don't swear. We do get some really, really silly ones. But overall, I definitely believe it is a good outlet for you guys to just speak about it. And if you're just chee-hooing at the stadium and you want to record yourself and put it on the SpeakPipe, we would absolutely love that. So, yeah, get onto SpeakPipe in the description on Spotify, Apple, and also on YouTube. Obviously, hit that thumbs up button, subscribe, and let's get a win. Let's just get a win. Let's just get a win together, and let's enjoy Saturday for what it is, and let's just get back in the winner's circle and go back out of last place and jump the Tigers. Now let's get a zing going, baby. Let's get a zing going.
Zing!
Oh, zing! I don't know what the whole zing was.
That's like drawing the double katana of the mighty Gold Coast Titans and slicing the Warriors' tongue off as they go, bleh! That's the tongue. I need to stop recording.